You're listening to a Talent Miles Talks podcast produced by Talent Miles, the company using digital approaches to create more dialogue and learning in teams and faster change in companies.
Hello and welcome to the Talent Miles Talks podcast. My name is Bo Salenius, and this is a podcast about our learnings from the past few months and what we've observed with regards to development at work. Specifically, it's about the so-called continuous development, that is, keeping learning alive and ongoing. How do you do that? And how do you make it happen? Making learning part of the job. I'm sure you have heard that comment before. Why this topic? Why should learning be ongoing, as it says in all the textbooks? Well, there are two simple reasons driving any developers and could drive any leaders and any participant as well. It's just about how one learns and thrives at work. Learning is needed. If you can't stop improving, and today's employees, people think about their own purpose more than ever and want to take an active role. If we don't feel we learn, we are running on autopilot, and that is not that fun to be at work with. Secondly, it's what business needs, improving what we do, how we do it, and there's a lot needed more today about that. With us here today, we have two of Talent Miles' finest, that is Camilla Alperi and Annika Fluman von Bunsdorf. Just a quick presentation of you both. Kami, what's your thinking? How would you use one minute on presenting what you do?
Well, I work at Talent Miles as a learning coach with different programs, the main one being self-leadership as well as onboarding or strategy implementation. And really the thread through all of them is continuous learning, getting new tools for learning and improving yourself and increasing collaboration, and really working together in all these programs, all of them being online as well. So improving online collaboration there at the same time.
I think you're far too modest. That final part is really, really impressive. Doing all of this online, so you don't get to meet these guys and hug them and say, look, you actually have to do all of that in the so-called flow of work online and being also doing this in a multinational setting. So there's a lot to learn from that. Let's see what your impressions are of the last few months when we get to that. Annika, what is your story in 1 minute? What are you busy with?
1 minute story. I'm a learning coach as well, working with programs, but mainly I work as a coach and one-to-one coaching. So this gives me an opportunity to meet people and really reflect and discuss with them. So online or face-to-face.
I myself, I worked with leadership team development, mostly using exploration and learning experience together with these fine people in different projects. Now, we agreed that we will just about have time to cover two big ones today. Let's see how far we get with that. First, what is the situation? Is learning part of the job? If we would just, hand on heart, what can we say about this based on the past few months? Do we see that it's part of the job? And the second one, how can we do better in this respect? So what ideas, if any, do we have at this point? Who wants to start? What is the situation? Is learning part of the job today?
Well, I think looking at what I've seen in the programs I've worked with, it seems that there is learning happening in the day-to-day. We are developing our skills. We're getting new knowledge on relevant work topics, maybe learning new programs. But we're also increasingly busy. And a lot of our time is maybe spent putting out fires nowadays, especially jumping from one meeting to the other. Sometimes there's meetings back to back to back. And during all of that, it can be really hard to take time for development and reflective development and deliberate learning, and it's easy to tunnel vision on work. So I think even though everybody is kind of taking charge and feeling that they need to take charge of their own development, actually taking time for that reflection and looking at the bigger picture or being mindful of one's own development is something that we can neglect to take time for, I think.
When you mentioned that deliberate learning, I remind myself that it's actually an age-old concept, really, deliberate learning. If it isn't deliberate, if there isn't an idea that I actually want to develop this practice in myself or together or whatever, it isn't really, in terms of the theorists, at least, it isn't really learning. It isn't really, we need to have that level of consciousness in there. And it's very interesting you mentioned that seems to be troubling. Annika, what's your answer on the very simple question of, is learning part of the job today when you listen to your coaching clients?
Well, what I hear after or when we are finishing this coaching for a longer period of time is usually that people ask for more possibilities for development, and they really reflect on how to continue and to stay motivated. And because they got this energy from the programs and they are creative, and then they would like to have more of that. But then they realize that this will be difficult.
Yeah, I have a question for you both. From where you're sitting in your respective driver's seats of different processes, coaching processes on the one hand and group processes maybe online on the other, and so why do you think it is today? Maybe it's the same answer as yesterday, but why would people want to develop? What is the driver behind development? Is it a bigger paycheck? Is it securing work? Is it, yeah, what else could it be? Do you see that there is something shifting here? Because why I ask, of course, is that the conventional wisdom is that people are thinking more about themselves somehow and so on. Does that show? And if so, how does it sound? I suppose. I don't know. Is this a stupid question?
I don't think so. I think there's an innate drive for us people to want to develop and to push ourselves. But I think there's some truth to your comment on maybe there's a stronger need for it with how quickly work life is changing. And I think an increasing amount of people might not feel that the company is necessarily loyal to them. And so it's also some part of self-preservation. That sounds like a strong word, but still there's a need to keep developing yourself as well to kind of keep up with the job market as well.
Yeah. Kami, a follow-up question there. Do you think that feeling of maybe lesser loyalty, do you think that is only certain companies? Or would you say that, this is a leading question, because I would go to as far as saying that tendency can actually be seen in almost all companies today. And it's coupled to working from anywhere. There's a slight change of tone in almost all companies, and in general in working life. Would you agree to this, or would you say that it's some companies are seriously worse than others?
I'm sure it's worse in some industries and companies than others, but I do think it feels like a pretty global phenomenon. Especially, of course, the bigger company is, I think it shows more than in smaller companies, because it's hard for the bigger company it is to be loyal to everybody. It's often, maybe it's the shareholders.
Annika, when you listen to these comments by Kami here, how does it show? How does this same phenomenon of maybe not being that married to the work as we once were considered being, does it show in the coaching? I mean, one could think that there would be more discussions what I should be doing with myself and less perhaps sort of how will I fit into the company. But this is just guessing. What's the reality in those coaching discussions?
Usually, actually, people are really loyal to their work and their company and want to do a good job. So it doesn't show that much sometimes, but then it that we need for a longer time, there can come other visions and dreams of what to do. But usually they are very focused on doing a good job and what is needed of them at the workplace.
Very interesting. Let's skip everything else and go for dessert. I was going to say, what I mean is let's really think about, give it a few minutes to think about what can actually be done. But before that, I also want to throw in from my point of view what it looks like. And having worked with a number of management groups and teams, also managers, I seriously think that the managers are really wanting to understand better now what you two are talking about here from your different vantage points. That leadership, from my point of view, and I've been in this for longer than I care to admit, and I would safely be as obnoxious as saying that in the last 5 years or so, let's say three, four years, nothing new has really happened in leadership. There's an awful lot of management, but less and less leadership. And combined with what you are saying, one can then think, that explains why things are happening, why people feel like they do, because the leaders are not. It can also be just the fact that work life is changing for so many reasons that you described there, and leaders are just not keeping up. And that is, I think, will be a big issue. There's no quick, fast answer to this. And it's not like leaders are not trying, but it's really the matter of the dialogue, which brings us to the second point. Of course, us being pragmatic people, we want to solve things. So how can we make development or learning stickier, the type of learning that you do and you want to do and you can do today as an employee or as a team, as a leader, whatever. How can you make that more ongoing? Who wants to start?
Thinking about the coaching sessions, then I think leaders have a really big responsibility, because people usually, they would like to have more opportunities for development, but then they are sometimes afraid to take the initiative themselves, and they wait for the leader to or the leaders to give them the opportunities. I think that the managers are really important in this. In this context,
do you think it's less so today that managers for some reason are doing less of what they should be doing, or is it the fact that they should just be doing more anyway, that there's something in the times that makes?
I think they need a lot of inspiration, and also some people are like also thinking about if it's okay to put time on development on your own, and is that part of your work? They also think about that. And so it's not self-evident always.
So Annika, what should one do if one feels like I would really like to develop myself, these views more, and this capacity I have more, but I'm not sure I'm allowed to do that. What should they do? Just go ahead and ask their boss? Is that the way? Should they contact HR, or should they write an anonymous comment in Facebook? What would be a way of finding out and getting support for what they need to do?
Sometimes it is, I guess. But it's myself, I see coaching as a tool also for development. So that might be a way to get that time for yourself and to find a way to go forward and take action. Because you need to reflect together with someone else, and you need kind of a thinking partner sometimes. Yeah. So if you are on your own and not doing this development in a team or this program or whatever, then like coaching is one way of doing it, and then maybe find other ways, and also the courage to ask for more support from your manager, probably.
What about asking for, I want to do this offline, I want to do this face to face with a coach, where is that okay, or is it so that today there the methods are actually that good that that we should just drop our expectations and instead go for trying out online coaching and that could work. What's your take there? Is there a big difference of what you can achieve between with online coaching and face-to-face coaching?
Well, there is a difference, but it's not that big. I mean, you can achieve a lot also with online coaching. It depends also on the person, because for some people, it's really important to just have a face-to-face connection. Yeah. And they know it. Usually they know it beforehand. And
of course, this is a luxury question, because in many, very many cases, there's no way of organizing anything like this face-to-face. Kami, your take. What, you run a successful program for many years now where people just sign on online for a number of weeks, online meetings together, then they do tasks themselves. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is my understanding of your self-leadership program. So is it that simple, getting more of this? Or is it something else that is needed to get more sticky learning and continuously keeping sort of learning on the grid?
I think, of course, signing up for these programs are a great way to make sure that you commit the time. Because, of course, again, when we're busy in our work, when we're putting out fires, when we feel like we only have time to do the kind of priority list of emergencies that we have in front of us, then taking the time for development, either in a program, in a classroom, or even at work, can feel hard. And sometimes an outside push can help with that and help to prioritize. But of course, programs end, and then what do you do? And so I think it's really about creating new habits of learning in your day-to-day work. It's like creating new habits for exercising. It doesn't happen overnight. It actually does take time and consistency and just keeping up with it and remembering it and prioritizing the time for it that I think is the most important. And there, of course, that helps to remember your own why. Why are you taking the time for learning? Why is development important to you? But then if we look at the practical aspects of it, making it a part of the job, doing activities or tasks or reflections that you can take back into your own work help. This could be going on a safari, as we call it, which is basically going outside of your usual team to ask somebody else for experiences and perspectives on something that you want to know more about. This can be a project you're working on, or maybe some development that you want to do, shadowing a colleague who you're curious about, whose job you want to learn more about, or whose experiences you want to learn more about, and using your own challenges and questions at work as starting points for exploration, and making it a part of that kind of daily work, remembering to seek feedback, not just once a year in your development discussions with your manager, but on a weekly basis from your colleagues, maybe stakeholders, your manager as well, of course. Because I do think in the end of what I've seen from my different programs is that we do our best learning together, and we have our best learning moments together. And so creating dialogue and being curious and just seeking new perspectives, I think that's probably the easiest way to keep developing, and then reflecting on how you can take your insights back to your own work. And of course, as well, including your team, how can you help your team? What can you learn from your team? What can you take back to your team as well? So I think prioritizing the time, creating a habit, and then making it part of your day-to-day work is, I think, what I've seen and are the most important kind of parts.
Great answer there, Kami. I have a question that I think it's going to have to wait till another podcast, but I'm going to float this anyway now, because it's the way you described what we should be doing there and could be doing, and how personal this actually is. That was my take of what you were saying just now. And what I I started to think about it. It's a comparison to reading a book or to reading, just having the habit of reading and going into your books and using it. So if we could get this working about how we think and what we do and a little bit closer, nudge it a little bit closer to that sort of a habit, which isn't really just about work. It is about us as people and so on and so forth. I think that could be quite beneficial and it would be interesting to hear, and knowing that you're an avid reader and you read a lot, it would be very interesting to hear your comment. But I'm going to let you think about that for until another podcast, and then we're going to compare what the difference is there. Being the chairperson here now gives me the perfect right to just add a couple of comments. I can't help feeling that what you have described there, both of you, is sort of a very personal approach to work. That you see that in the groups you work with, in the individuals you work with, and a lot of talking, a lot of dialogue about that working life and how we feel about it and how what we would want to have out of it and so. And I can't help feeling that leaders today are feeling a bit left out. They're sort of, they need to be more interesting. This is my take. They need to be more interesting and ask. You don't get engaged people in your group if you don't have engaged questions, if you don't have engaging ideas and invite dialogue to that. If all you do is follow-up meetings and performance reviews, if you think that is leadership, which it isn't, then I think there's going to be a continuously growing mismatch between leadership and managers and the managed, which is a pun really now here for the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Thank you very much, colleagues, dear colleagues, for sharing your thoughts. We'll be back with some new ideas. Have a good day, anyone and everyone listening.
You have been listening to a Talent Miles Talks podcast produced by Talent Miles, the company using digital approaches to create more dialogue and learning in teams and faster change in companies. Learn more at www.talentmiles.com.